This episode of Cognitive Dissonance is brought to you by our patrons. You fucking rock. Be advised that this show is not for children, the faint of heart, or the easily offended. The explicit tag is there for a reason.
Recording live from Glory Hole Studios in Chicago and beyond, this is Cognitive Dissonance. Every episode we blast anyone who gets in our way. We bring critical thinking, skepticism, and irreverence to any topic that makes the news, makes it big, or makes us mad. It's skeptical, it's political, and there is no welcome mat. Today is the day you're listening to this. That's what day it is. We're recording it on December 5th. Doesn't matter. We're talking long form. This is an evergreen episode, Cecil. It's evergreen because I don't think the Catholics are going to change the way they're picking their saints anytime soon.
I think you might even be able to become a saint if you can touch things and turn them evergreen.
We got to talk about this. Cecil, so just a little peek behind the curtain. Every month, Cecil sends me, I don't know, four, five, six, whatever he comes up with, whatever looks interesting to him. Long-form article ideas. And I don't read each one of them, but I'll look at them, skim them over, and decide which ones, you know, we might want to cover. And I get to make the final decision on that. And when I saw this one, I was like, oh, hell yes.
This is it. This is the one.
This feels like we could just make this a Citation Needed episode.
You could just read this and add interjections, and it could absolutely be a Citation Needed episode.
This is fucking crazy. So it comes from The Guardian. The title of the article is Inside the Vatican's Secret Saint-Making Process. So this is like how the sausage gets made for saints.
Well, it's a reliquary sausage, though.
So. Now, Cecil, you have a lot of familiarity with the Catholic Church.
I do have familiarity. So I worked for a Catholic university for many years, and I have a lot of familiarity with the Catholic Church. It's interesting because the people who I worked with and the sort of relationship that they had with the church was a very left-leaning, liberal relationship. And every time I was ever involved in anything that was Catholic-related, it was always super fucking weird. It was always weird as shit. Now, my wife was a Catholic when I met her. Yeah. She's no longer a Catholic, but she was a Catholic when I met her. And every time I attended their sort of weekly rituals, the mass, mm-hmm. anytime I'd go to like any of these big events that they would have that would be like a weekly, like a you know, a lifetime ritual, maybe getting married or somebody be getting buried or you know, a communion or a baptism or something. It was always super weird. And the Catholics very much have such a strange relationship with dead bodies. They have an absolute weird necrophilia-like relationship with inanimate dead meat. They think it's magical. The place where I was working, this place, DePaul University, they have a saint who is their patron saint, right? And he's actually, like, his story is actually an interesting story. It's a story of a guy who dedicated his life to charity. So somebody who is, you know, at least somebody who you could say, well, they seem like they did some pretty good work in their life, right? But they weirdly still have part of his body in like a display in France. And it's in this weird hermetically sealed coffin where somebody has went out of their way because they don't have the whole body, Tom. They only have parts of it. But in order not to be super gross, they've actually made like a wax figure and stuck those pieces that are real back into the body. That's not weird at all. No,
it's not weird at all.
That's like a very intricate sex doll is what that is.
That's like some Carl Tanzler shit.
It's like a fucking a paper towel roll for your butthole or whatever.
I just want to throw this out there, you know, to cross promote for a minute because I have an episode coming out on Citation Needed in just a few weeks that goes into relics just by coincidence, this happened actually, that goes into the holy prep use, which is the Jesus's foreskin as a relic.
Wow.
And other
the holy
weird
prep
relics.
Loose and the holy prolapse. I mean, you could get a whole thing going on here.
So I am cross promoting for a minute, but if you enjoy this, you could, if you're not a listener to Citation Needed, you could swing over there in a week or so. It'll probably release around then and you could pick up that episode. Cause I learned this. See, my connection to the Catholic Church. See, so I was thinking about this the other day. I was talking to Haley. We were talking about something else. I think I've never met a nun. I was trying to think if I ever met a nun in person. I don't think I've ever met a nun. And the only priests I've ever met were at a handful of funerals and weddings.
Wow. Okay.
So I was not Catholic. I wasn't raised Catholic.
Sure.
My friends weren't Catholic. We went to a Methodist church when I was little, and then we stopped going to church. So, and I didn't go to Catholic school. So I just, you know, like, it's like I just never ran into them, you know, never had any like connection to the Catholic Church. So this is all like I just say that, like, when you're even one step removed, this is so fucking bonkers.
Yeah.
It's so funny when we'll talk about the details of this, because if you're a step, I think if you're like in it, it's like, yeah, I'm fucking in it. Like, this is like the machinations and the fucking politics of how we get this done. And we got to make a saint. Oh boy, we got to get a saint done. And then there's rules for how to make a saint. You can't just have willy-nilly saints. But like, if you take a step, one half step back from this, and then you explain it to somebody else, you're like, oh, you're fucking crazy. You know that. You're fucking crazy.
Well, I have actually met many priests and nuns while I was working. And I got to be honest, some of the priests and some of the nuns were really interesting. And I think really, they lived some really interesting lives and did a lot of really good work. So I'm not going to like shit on the people who did some of that stuff. Right. I there was two sisters who worked with immigrants here in the sort of local area. And they would do these prayer vigils outside of these immigrant centers where the people were going to be sent home. These were Sisters of Mercy, the order, not the band, but they were, you know, two Sisters of Mercy. And they were actually really sweet ladies. And what they did was they organized this entire group of people who would come and say prayers outside. And here I am, a secular guy, watching them pray. But even as a secular guy, I recognized the necessity of them being outside maybe wasn't the prayer at all. It was just to show solidarity to the people inside who could look out of the window and see that there was a group of people who cared about them outside of the window. Whether or not they were praying was irrelevant, right? And so I thought, like, what a cool thing for them to show solidarity to this group of people. And obviously the people inside were probably religious anyway. So it was a useful thing for them too. But, you know, like, there's some of these people who do like some pretty amazing stuff. So I don't want to just like say that they're all like worthless, but I think that they all kind of are a little crazy. Like I definitely think like some of the work they do is great, but some of the stuff that they think is kind of fucking nuts, man.
So let's talk about saints. So the whole idea of a saint is kind of bonkers. This, I didn't realize what a big deal until fairly recently, until I started reading the Citation Needed episode for the Citation Needed. I didn't really realize what a big deal for this sort of like population of the church a saint is. Saints seem to be, and Cecil, you correct me if I'm wrong, but they seem to be in the Catholic Church a venerated figure that, if not directly prayed to, like a god, is sort of prayed around or beseeched for help directly as an intercessor.
Yeah, intercessor. But let's just look. You can probably talk your way around this in a million ways to say, oh, they do intercessory prayer.
It's a demigod, actually, though.
It's a fucking demigod. That's what I was gonna say. It's a fucking demigod. It's like a little god. It's like a little baby god.
It's a wee little god.
It's a little baby god. Ooh, you gotta pick him up and you birth the little god. And then you set him down. And then he loses his finger, and that's fucking holy now because he lost his finger.
Yeah, well,
and that's
because like everything that they've touched becomes like a third class relic.
Yeah.
So they have like different classes of
every
relics.
Bit of toilet paper, Tom. Every bit of toilet paper is like a third class relic.
At one point in the story, there's like people like showing up to the body of this like person that's going to be like, and there's like, I don't know, there's like a, there's like beatifying and venerating and canonizing, but like they show up and there's people like rubbing fucking rosary beads on this fucking corpse so that they can create relics out of them.
Quick rules question.
What an insane
for you.
Thing to
Quick
do.
Rules. I'm going to need an adjudication on this one, Tom. If I collect their flatulence in a jar, is that a relic by itself or is it a third party relic? Which is
Oh, that is, isn't that kind of Holy Ghost-ish though? Like that feels Holy Ghost-ish.
That's the third state of matter. It's a plasma. It's a holy plasma.
It's a holy plasma.
Yeah.
I had a friend, amazing. Speaking of putting farts in a jar,
okay,
just real quick.
Good. I'm glad we're getting up on this tangent.
I had a friend who insisted that this worked, and I never checked to see if it did, but he would go, when we would go to parties, and he was an asshole, he would go to a party, and he would fart in people's refrigerator and shut the refrigerator so that he could hold the fart in the refrigerator so when they would go to open it.
You really got to get a lot of oomph on your fart in order to project it that far, right?
I believe in him. I mean, having known him.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
You know Rick. Like,
sure.
I believe
him. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I believe in him.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But yeah, I like him.
You open it up, you're like, the eggs are rotten. What happened?
What is happening
here?
In here? All right, so let's so this
what
story is,
did a fucking saint die in here? What is happening?
Well, and like I know I told this story on the air before, but like I remember at one point
you didn't kill a saint, did you?
No, not yet.
Not but on like, purpose. Yeah,
they take these saints, like they take the fucking bones and the fucking tongues and the fucking ears and like the fucking bits and bobs. And they go on fucking rock and roll tour.
Yeah, man.
With these fucking things.
Yeah.
It's there like was
a better game would be if you shipped it all in there in a big box and they had to play Mr. Potato, had to put it all back together.
It would be really great if you had to like piece them back together.
It's
right?
like a relic. It's like a relic Mr. Potato Head. You gotta put all the pieces back together on it.
Like a jigsaw puzzle of fucking reliquary bits. Like you gotta start with the borders. You gotta always start with the edges. Get me all the edge
you're
pieces.
You're taking
of-
a scalp and you're trying to put that back together. Oh, nope. That's ball hair. Let's put that
okay,
somewhere
all right.
else.
You're trying to sing the song. You're like, hip bones connected to the... fuck. I should have paid more attention to the song.
Yeah, man. I don't want to have to put the whole skeleton back together by memory.
You end up with an upside down Tyrannosaurus Rex
man.
Or whatever.
You guys got really long femur forearms.
I feel like maybe that explains my body. Like maybe somebody just put me together wrong.
Dude,
you know?
Dude. What I want to talk. Let's delve into the article here. Cause I think there's some really interesting stuff in here. The article is focused on one person and their name is Acutis. I don't know. Is that how you would say it? Is that
I called him Acutis. I think Acutis? On the, when
okay,
I read
sure.
it,
I don't
I'm
know how to say
wrong.
It, yeah. But, this person is considered the first millennial saint and has been nicknamed God's influencer and the patron saint of the internet.
The patron saint of the internet.
Well,
what
of
a
all
horrible
the things
thing.
To be the patron saint of.
The internet needs
the
first of all
cesspool that is the internet.
Can you imagine, like at some point, Cecil, where there's going to be a patron saint of Twitter? There's going to be a patron saint of fucking
Can
4chan
I just say, though,
someday.
I mean, like think about some of the things we've seen on the internet.
No. We need a lot more than one patron saint.
He's the patron saint of Goatsy, Tom.
Like, he's the patron. Like remember, like, 20 years ago when somebody convinced you.
He's the patron saint of Two Girls, One Cup.
Right.
Yeah.
Remember, like, 20 years ago when somebody convinced you to Google Lemon Party? He's the patron saint of that.
Probably had to experience it before he was turned into a patron saint, too. I mean, let's be real honest here.
Well, you know what's so funny is, like, when they were, like, researching this guy to decide whether to, like, if they could make him a saint, they had to check his browser history. It's in the article.
But here's the thing. He's the patron saint of the internet. He could probably change it by magic.
It's one of his miracles.
That's who you pray to when you're dying. That's who you pray to. You're like, dear Jesus, please take me into heaven. And dear Actus, please clear my browser.
There's like somebody like lighting a candle church that, and may my browser history never be discovered.
Actually, just dump a bunch of fucking holy water on my computer. Nobody needs to see any of that.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but this guy is, they talk, you know, to be honest too, you know, we're making fun of a lot of this stuff, but really there's not only weirdness when it comes to these people revering dead bodies, but then also their sort of, you mentioned it earlier, the politics of who gets made into a saint, right? There's sort of, you know, there's a bunch of people who have been pushing for some saints. Some saints have been languishing for centuries before, and they're not made saints. They're blessed or whatever they call them. They're like half saints. And they've been in this sort of saint pipeline for a long time, and they haven't actually made it through the toll booth or the
It's like
pearly
the line at the DMV.
Whatever.
It's like the longest applicant. There's like somebody that was talking like, yeah, they've been fucking in the cause or whatever for 316 years. And it's like, man, just call that one. Yeah, You're not going to do it.
You ain't making it no more.
Like who has still got their application in at that? Who's refreshing the fucking page? Like, it's been 316, but we're going to get him at 317, Joe.
But
we're going to get him.
When you read this, you can clearly see that they are pushing very specifically for this person. And they were pushing for this person to become a saint because for them, it's great publicity if they have a dead saint influencer out there.
Yeah, well, like, it's super weird. Here, there's two super weird things about this. The first is that this Acutis guy was angling to become a saint while alive.
Yeah.
Like he, as a person, was like, yeah, I'm going to like learn to be a saint and become a saint. And then he was like, not exactly teaching classes, but like telling other people what they needed to do and how to live their life to become a saint. Except that like becoming a saint involves producing two posthumous miracles. So that seems like a really fucking hard thing to plan for. Since you're dead when it happens, and it's magic when it happens.
Yeah.
But for
them, those two things aren't deal breakers because they believe in that stuff. We don't.
But you have to like live a whole life hoping that like when you're dead, you do this. Right? But you're dead. My mind can't get there,
but they think they're going to be able to fucking Harry Potter that shit once they fucking kick the bucket.
So like, but like the whole saint making process is a process of politics. It is a process of creating heroes made specifically to fit a certain space and time. And I think the Catholic Church very astutely understands and has always understood that the best heroes to create are dead heroes. Yeah. Because once they're dead, they are no longer active creators of a narrative. So the church gets to shape the entire narrative around the deceased, what they did, what their miracles are, what their relevance is. So like, it's actually a really smart way, I think, to have complete top-down authoritarian control of the narrative and still have sort of a populist element where you're pulling people from the population, raising them up into this heroic status, meeting this sort of cultural moment, but doing it with fucking corpses.
Yeah, doing it in a way that none of those people can ever voice any dissent whatsoever because you get to be their voice now. What I think is so strange and doesn't make any sense to me at all is why not just fucking wipe the miracle thing away? Why not say, you know what, we're not going to do the miracle thing? Why not just say, this guy was a hero of our church and they're cool and we like them and we think they're a saint? But the crazy thing is what makes sense to us is neither of us believe in God or a saint. So when you say, I want this person to be my avatar, both of us say, well, then just make him your fucking avatar. But those people so buy into all this stuff that they have to keep this weird vestigial backstory about how they can like cure somebody's pancreatic cancer without doing anything. Because if they don't have that, then they're not really a saint. Then it was just sort of made by the church. Which is made by the church anyway.
Made by the church anyway.
I know, but they don't believe that. They think they're actually like they're really saints people.
Yeah, they're like making something up that they don't acknowledge that they're inventing from whole cloth. it's so crazy because they also, to your point, they have changed the rules. They've made it easier. It used to be you had to do more miracles. Now you have to do less miracles. Yeah. Like
Substitute one of them for Miracle Whip.
Yeah, now you can use I can't believe it's not miraculous, like instead. Like it's so they've reduced the miracles, they've
also,
like changed
the fucking miracles.
Dude, well, they changed, like they even acknowledged, like, yeah, like back in the day, we had like way different miracles, but now and they even say it in the art, like the people in the church even say out loud, like, yeah, you know, like back in the day, we had different miracles, but now that science has gotten better. You know, we've got like way different, newer miracles. Cause it used to be that it was like the dead would walk around and like fucking like goats would float in the sky, like all this shit. And now they're just like, I don't know, somebody you never met once fingered a girl in Canada. And you're just like, okay.
I want to read that part, Tom, cause I think it's great. It says, Antonia has claimed that her son worked his first miracles on the day of his funeral mass. When he cured a woman of breast cancer, gone are the days when saints would work miracles by taking flight or saving the faithful from fires and floods. Since 1950, every miracle approved by the Dicasteries Medical Board, a secretive body of doctors who meet regularly to evaluate stories of divine beings, has been a physical act of healing. Even these kind of miracles, quote, are becoming more rare, end quote, Pope John Paul II acknowledged in 1988. The advance of scientific knowledge means that fewer cures are truly inexplicable. It has become increasingly difficult to ascertain exactly which fact goes beyond the laws of nature. So he's even admitting, like, we don't even know anymore because, like, fucking... We thought this was cool, but now you can literally just cure that shit. Like, yeah. We thought, oh, maybe once in a while somebody will get better for a day and that's a miracle. But now we're just like, yeah, no, we can just prevent that disease entirely now.
Well, I think part of it is that before, too, they were like, well, that's inexplicable. And then science is like, here's the explanation. And you're like, well, we can't count that anymore.
Way to ruin everything, science.
It's so absurd. They also, at one point, they describe, so like when you're like climbing the ladder to sainthood, dead, by the way, you can never be, I didn't even know until this.
Actually, like, what they do is they just throw a rope around your midsection and then they drag you up and your head hits every rung on the way up.
On the way up.
Yeah.
So like, I think like one of the steps you're blessed or blessed.
Yeah. That's, you get one miracle, you're blessed or blessed.
And,
yeah.
And at that point, like they say that like your status in heaven is assured. So that means you're definitely in heaven.
The other ones are all like waiting for their first miracle. Like, come on, baby. Mama needs a new pair of shoes. Yeah, blow on my dice for me.
So like when I read that, I was like, wait a minute. All these other people that you're like, God, they just live such a great life. And like so far, no miracles. But like in your mind, you're like, still not sure if they made it to heaven, though. You know, they're just in hell? Like, yeah. You're just like, I don't know, it's a miracle.
Well, there's a third place.
Like, I don't know.
There's another place, purgatory.
Get rid of purgatory?
Didn't
the Catholics get rid of purgatory a few years ago?
I don't think you can get rid of it.
I legitimately thought a few years ago, they came out and said, oopsie, there's no purgatory.
Oh, did they build casinos there instead? Is that what
now, I could be wrong about that, but I remember reading an article.
I don't believe that shit. How the fuck would I know?
Here's the thing. It doesn't matter because there's no purgatory. Yeah. Nobody listening to this is like, oh, it is an excellent question.
Well,
maybe there is. It's fucking stupid. There's none of this. None of this is anything.
Yeah.
Bones are bones. Like, that's all this is. But it struck me as so crazy that most people, they're just like, yeah, we're not real sure if they ended up in hell or not.
I want to read a little bit more of this article. They were talking about, they're talking about doctors. And this is a weird quote. And I want to get your take on this particular portion of the article, because I'm not sure I completely understood it. As a hematologist and a historian, this person, her name's Jacqueline, has noted, this approach is antithetical to that of scientists and doctors who are taught to believe that the inexplicable phenomenon of today are merely the discoveries of tomorrow. Quote, most doctors behave as if an explanation can be found. That is a belief system. It is in direct parallel to the belief system that there can be supernatural divine intervention. They are both beliefs on the basis of no evidence. End quote. I would say that that's evidence that we've solved other problems is actually evidence, and the things that you have are not evidence.
Yeah, and I also, like, I push back at her very premise. Like, I don't think that it is a commonly held scientific belief that all things will be explained. Like, I don't believe that. Like, I don't think there's any reason to believe that. I think that, like, everything has an explanation. I'm not convinced that people will live long enough to find all the answers to every question. That to me seems spurious. Like, I don't know that there's a good reason to believe that. I think we've found out answers to a lot of shit. And finding answers to a lot of shit leads me to believe that, like, if we keep looking, we'll find answers to more shit. That at no point has the answer to anything been magic. We never found.
Yeah.
It's not like, if it was magic, at some point we would have a bucket of things that are magic that never go out of that bucket.
Yeah.
But we don't have a bucket full of magic shit. There's no bucket full of only, like, if there was literally no explanation whatsoever for an eclipse, right? If eclipses happened and we could not figure out any celestial fucking body movements that explained an eclipse, and we went and fucking blasted rockets and looked around and we're like, there's nothing up here that explains it. That would live in the magic bucket, but everything, there's nothing that lives in the magic bucket.
When we want to find out the answer, we keep trying to find out the answer until we don't, we've exhausted all of our possibilities.
Yeah, the answer has always been, we're not sure yet. That's a perfectly fine answer. And there will always be stuff in that bucket. Or here's the answer.
Yeah.
I think part of the problem we run into now is as we live in a world that has solved more and more and more found more and more answers, the answers get more and more complicated because the questions get deeper and the questions get more specific. And honestly, less people can understand them, myself very much included.
Sure.
Right? So, like, once you start getting in there, then, like, for lay people, it's like, that's just gibberish. It's in a language they don't read, a scientific language they don't read, a series of, you know, mathematical properties and principles they don't read and understand. Because at some point, you've got to dedicate your whole life to just getting to that point. And, like, that's it, right? So, like, that's a problem, but it's not a problem of truth. It's a problem of explaining truth.
Yeah. And I think what they do is they move the goalposts. So let me read another piece of this where they move the goalposts. Duffin, the same person who I mentioned earlier, that Jacqueline lady, began studying medical miracles in 1989 after she was asked to look at some bone marrow samples of a woman who had experienced an unlikely recovery from an acute leukemia. At first, she was asked to read the patient chart without knowing the context. The patient had submitted to aggressive chemotherapy, but she had also prayed to an 18th century Canadian nun for healing.
And it
was to the nun, not the chemotherapy, that she attributed her eventual cure. The experience pushed Duffin to undertake what remains the most comprehensive study of the Vatican's archive of medical miracles. So, you know, This is a person who said that this was a medical miracle. And you're like, but you're also taking something that we know is not miraculous.
Right.
Is something that we, that human beings thought up would fix this and have seen other instances of it being fixed. It's not magic. We know what goes in it and we can recreate it. And the problem is that they say, too bad, it was not you. It was an 18th century nun who did it.
We also know that, like, for cancer, spontaneous remission is a feature of cancer.
Yeah.
Some cancers spontaneously remit. That's a known truth. But, like, you know, here's the other thing about these sort of medical miracles that I have to, you can't help but go down this path if you've got any sense in your brain. So you've got a God. And God loves us and cares about us. And he cares so much that he's going to come in. And if you pray to the right saint, he'll swoop in and he'll fix your cancer. And you want to be like, hey, dick, you could have just not given me cancer.
All right, y'all. We're going to play the most high stakes game of Jeopardy ever.
And then, like,
I'll take 18th century nun for 200, Alex.
But, like, Cecil, too, like, it's not like everybody, here's where you could convert Tom. If everybody who prayed to that nun was cured of cancer.
Sure, sure. You got something. You got something.
If 87% of people who prayed to that nun, I didn't want to go 100%. If 87% of the people who fucking scrunched up their hearts like real tight and they got their fucking prayer on or however that works.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And like they all got cured of cancer, I'd be like, wow, there's something there.
There's something there.
But like if one of them... Then, like,
I would say, even if it's a miracle. Hold on, let me interrupt. I would allow that if they were not also taking chemotherapy at the same time.
And if spontaneous remission was not a known fact of cancer.
Well, even 87% feels like a high number for spontaneous remission.
Right, that's
so
true.
I would be,
that's true.
Yeah. If 100% of them are taking chemotherapy and 87% of them like fucking prayed to the right person and 87% of them got healed, I still would not believe that it was
chemotherapy.
That
did, all they do is pray.
Yeah.
And like then they make it today. Then like I'm in, right? You've converted Tom over.
Tom is in.
But I'm still stuck and being like, but your God is a dick.
He's like an asshole. Why did I get in the first place?
Like, imagine treating your kids like, that's what I'm saying. Like, he cares so much, he'll swoop in if you do all the things right. But it's like, just don't make me get sick. Build a better body. You built this thing. Why did you build it with all these fucking time bombs in it, you dickhead?
They have such a fucking strange relationship with their deity abuser.
Yes. Where
it's like such a toxic... fucking shitty relationship where they keep taking him back. And you're like, what is wrong with you? Leave him alone. If he exists, he's an asshole. Why would he do that to little kids? Some poor little kid out there never knew he existed and their bones are fucking revolting against their own body. And that God is cool with that. Fuck you in the face. You don't exist, but if you did, you deserve to get fucked in the face.
In the face, dude, because like the other thing is we only count intercessions that are positive, right? And that we attribute to God, but like we're not attributing all the people who prayed and stayed sick. That's not an anti-miracle. Why isn't that a different thing? Why isn't the true believer who prayed real hard and scrunched up their heart and concentration and thought the right thoughts at the sky, and then they still fucking die. Why aren't we calling that a something? Like a divine indifference or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, why is that not? Instead, we're just like, well, mysterious ways. And then we're just like, free will. Ah, I gotta go.
Eat your fucking cracker right now.
What is that?
I also want to bring up, too, that sometimes you can just move that goalpost as close as you want to everything. And I want to read this last paragraph because it's kind of amazing. William spoke to a woman in Denver who prayed to an aspiring saint for the return of a lost handbag.
I laughed out loud reading this.
Only to have someone call her a few hours later saying they had found it. What some people may regard as everyday miracles, the birth of a child, the rain after a long drought, or this simple act of kindness would never pass muster for the dicastery. That's the people who decide whether a miracle is a miracle. The focus has always been more on proof rather than on the fact that people who were suffering were receiving healing, end quote. So, but I just think it's amazing. Someone's like, one time I lost my handbag and then I prayed to an 18th century nun and they said, yep, no problem. By the way, lucky thing it had an air tag in it or whatever. Oh God.
When it's I was a kid, Cecil,
amazing.
I found a money clip on the ground full of money. It was a money clip full of money. And I found it and I was like, ooh, money. I like money. But I was like, that's not my money. And so I brought it to my dad and my dad turned it in. We were at a store or something. And my dad turned it in. And I did that because an 18th century nun whispered in my no, because I was fucking raised with some ethics.
Oh God.
That's why I did it, because my dad raised me to be a decent fucking person.
Amazing. One time,
I didn't pocket someone else's money.
One time, I was out. When I was a kid, we used to drink underage in fields near my house. I grew up. It wasn't rural, but it was suburb, and there was plenty of empty farmer fields and buildings that weren't occupied at night, so you could sit in the parking lot and drink. We traveled all over and drank underage in all kinds of different places. And there was a cul-de-sac one night, and it was actually, I remember the night that I was underage drinking. It was the night that OJ rode his white Bronco down the freeway. We spelled in that field in rocks OJ as large as we could. That night I lost my wallet. I went home and I didn't have my wallet. And no shit, Tom, I got a letter, a snail mail letter in the mail that said, hey, by the way, I found your wallet. You can swing by my house and pick it up. Someone
That's awesome.
Who was walking their dog saw my wallet on the ground, picked it up, and they did it because an 18th century nun whispered in their ear.
Get the fuck right out of here with all
amazing,
this.
Tom. This story is the best. Okay, so Tom, before we end, one of the pieces of this article that I thought was very, very interesting, and this is on the big screen for anybody who's watching, is that this patron saint of the internet, they created a live stream of his cock.
Cecil, can you really call it a live stream of a corpse?
You can't. You're not allowed to do that. But if you want to see, we're going to put a link in this week's show notes.
Happening now?
If you want to see that they literally made a little box for this person and they put him in a hermetically sealed box and he has an actual box around him and you can see his fucking coffin live on the internet 24 hours a day if you want.
You can just watch somebody ultra slow motion rot. In a
Why
fucking glass case.
Why
like a
would
weird ghoul.
Ah.
Like a fucking weird ghoul. That's what this is. It's fucking Maria vision, by the way, is what it says in the upper right hand. And all you are looking at, this isn't like Fat Bear Week, guys. This isn't like fucking Bald Eagle fucking cams. There's nothing going on. It's just a camera looking at a dead body.
Yeah, and there's a sign that says you can't take like a flash photo because he'll rot faster.
What the shit? What is wrong with you fucking
know,
people?
Dude. This is the most fucked up. Look, actually, to be honest, here's what I think. I don't think they should allow this on YouTube because you're showing dead people on YouTube.
They should. Terms of service or
Terms
fucking
of
whatever.
Service, YouTube, you should TOS this shit. genuinely, this story is fucking amazing. It is everything you hoped you could learn about the saint-making process. It really is something else. All right, that's going to wrap it up for this week. We're going to be back on Monday, but we're going to leave you like we always do with the Skeptic's Creed.
Credulity is not a virtue. It's fortune cookie cutter, mommy issue, hypno Babylon bullshit. Couched in scientician, double bubble, toil and trouble, pseudo quasi alternative, acupunctuating, pressurized, stereogram, pyramidal, free energy healing, water downward spiral, brain deadpan, sales pitch, late night info docutainment. Leo, Pisces, cancer cures, detox, reflex, foot massage, death and towers, tarot cards, psychic healing, crystal balls, Bigfoot, Yeti, aliens, churches, mosques, and synagogues, temples, dragons, giant worms, Atlantis, dolphins, truthers, birthers, witches, wizards.
Ladies and gentlemen, here we are at the fabulous State Theater in Hollywood for the world premiere of 20th Century Fox's Soup to
Nuts,
starring Ted Healy.
Shaman healers, evangelists, conspiracy, doublespeak, stigmata, nonsense. Expose your sides. Thrust your hands, bloody, evidential, conclusive. Doubt even this.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed the show, consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/dissonancepod. Help us spread the word by sharing our content. Find us on TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, and Threads, all under the handle @dissonancepod. This show is CAN-credentialed, which means you can report instances of harassment, abuse, or other harm on their hotline at 617-249-4255. Or on their website at creatoraccountabilitynetwork.org.